But yeah, my name is Zach. I work on the sales team here at Casa. We're going to be co-hosts in this space with everybody's favorite, Jameson. It looks like he's up here. Got in now. Yeah, and today's conversation will be real open and free-flowing. So if you have questions, the topics will be generally guided towards Bitcoin for families, what that means, creating a legacy plan, especially on the heels of our new shared accounts feature.
Perfect. Jameson, can you hear us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, great.
You want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Jameson. I'm the founder and CTO of Casa, and I've been doing Bitcoin stuff for nearly a decade. And, you know, as we've been through multiple cycles here and people have had the opportunity to build, in some cases, generational wealth, and interesting the past few years of trying to help people navigate this new environment to you know, straddle both the legacy financial planning and this new era in which we have you know even greater possibilities and things that we can do if we're actually directly controlling our own finances.
Awesome. Thank you. And yeah, as mentioned, the format for today's space is going to be fairly loose. It's going to be pretty much an open Q&A. We've got some questions already, but if you have a question, feel free to request and we'll bring in stage and let you ask it to these guys. And so I wanted to start with just an overall overview of why is inheritance planning and legacy planning so important for Bitcoin in particular?
Sure, I'll go first. Well, you know, I think this concept of low time preference and thinking ahead is a sort of product of the decentralized nature and resiliency of Bitcoin mixed with the finite supply. So it gives you some sort of predictability with which you can plan your future around. And, you know, I think the Sam Callahan at Twitter or at Swan or Eric Yates would probably explain it better. But as far as I understand, the monetary systems reset, you know, every 80, 100 years. And so there's never even been like an asset class other than maybe gold that you could plan this far ahead for and truly actually with confidence think that it'll be similar to how it operates today. So for me, that's why legacy planning with Bitcoin is both unique and extremely important. What do you think, Jameson?
Yeah, so this is a very different model, right? With most traditional financial products, the asset itself or the sort of registration or control point of that asset is held by a trusted third party, some you know, financial service or authority somewhere. And so while inheritance planning is still important, if you only have more traditional assets, it's critically important if you have crypto assets. If you are taking custody of your own assets, holding those private keys, because there is no court system, there is no probate, there is no authority that can decree if you get hit by a truck that yes, your assets should all transfer ownership to parties X, Y, and Z. Much like with how Bitcoin security is something that you need to be upfront about and you know put in the time and effort to research, understand, and build your security posture. This all has to be front loaded because if a catastrophe occurs, there is no going back. You know, there is no one that can create the path of inheritance or recovery that you want if it hasn't already been set up ahead of time.
Awesome. And what are the primary ways that somebody can go about setting up a legacy plan from, say, a beginner all the way to a whale?
Well, the easiest way is to make sure that your private keys are, or if not accessible by your family, the knowledge of how to access them is readily available. But there are obviously weaknesses in that, being that someone who you might not intend and that with which you cannot enforce may try to access it other than your family. And so that, you know, I think that's a big part of where this key sharing and multi-key structure of custodial Bitcoin, when you're holding it yourself, really comes into play. Turn it over to Jameson.
Yeah, I think that some of the centralized custodians have added the ability for you to designate beneficiaries in your account. So, you know, they're basically going down the same type of traditional system that you would see in other financial providers. But if you're in the realm of self-custody, which obviously we're very biased about and believe that everyone should put in the time and effort to get to that point, well, you need to be a lot more careful in the sense that you have some trade-offs, and particularly the problem is that you want to be in a setup, a situation where only you can access your funds. You know, you don't want other random people to be able to come in and access your funds. But the flip side, and what makes this whole discussion so much more complicated, is that, you know, we have to all understand that we are human, and as far as we know, there's basically 100% chance that we're going to die, and we don't know when. Therefore, you want to have some way that people who you designate as your heirs can access those keys. So it's, you know, it's some trade-offs because you're getting into more of a shared custody situation. The stuff that we're going to be talking about today is really more about shared custody with one other trusted party. We will not be talking as much about the inheritance planning services that Casa has offered for several years, because that is a slightly different model that ensures that no one has access to your keys until after you have died.
Perfect. So, yeah, you want to give us a quick overview of shared accounts?
Sure, I'll take this one. So a shared account is, if you've got, you know, a brokerage account with stocks or something, it's a co-owned account with typically a spouse, though it doesn't have to be. And this person is, as far as Casa is concerned, authorized just in the same way you as a primary owner would be. So to set one up, it's easy to do. You would just need to make sure that the account owners both have access to the same information, so the same shared email address, both using what we would hope would be a shared password manager to not have to send that unencrypted, as well as shared access to the PIN codes. So obviously, you know, if Casa is here to step in and provide a single signature in the case of one of the primary account owners passing, they would still need, because of it is a multi-key wallet, they would need to access the other keys. So making sure the PIN codes and other sensitive data that the actual individual would be holding are shared amongst both co-owners. And this is different from our inheritance plan, as Jameson mentioned, which notably differs in that those take effect after the event of the primary owner's death, whereas the shared account is a co-owned account throughout the life of the owners. And if the primary owner was to pass, the account would be reverted back to an individual account, and Casa would work with that individual to make sure that they can recover their funds.
Awesome. I just pinned a tweet to the top of this chat to a blog post where we talk about shared accounts and some of our other options in general. So, Jameson and Zach, so why is Casa unveiling these shared accounts now? How have things changed?
I mean, it was a need that we saw arise, you know, from our own clients. You know, there was certainly interest in our inheritance program. That's a lot more involved. However, we had clients who wanted something that wasn't quite as complicated and also was more of a co-managed type of setup. So, you know, people with joint finances, for example, they don't necessarily want to lock out their spouse from all of the crypto finances. So, you know, this was really a culmination of market demand on our part and, you know, wanting to be able to offer something that was a bit simpler for people to get into.
Awesome. And what type of a Bitcoiner would be at home with a shared account? Who are these meant for? Or who could get the most value from them?
Yeah, I see a couple scenarios. I mean, I think the main one is a husband and wife, or, you know, a couple where they just want to make sure that if the other partner passes, the corresponding other partner can access their funds. Typically, I find that one spouse is more involved in the management of Bitcoin than the other. We don't have as many where it's like both couples are, you know, both members of the couple are like, you know, diehard Bitcoiners. But that's the first thing. Typically, you know, I've seen scenarios where like a parent and child, let's say you as a, maybe, you know, a savvy 30 something year old Bitcoiner have told your parents about Bitcoin early, but they know and you know darn well that you don't want to trust them with the custody, or they don't want to take that risk on themselves. Maybe they're just now getting to using a smartphone. So in this case, like, you could entitle like a parent or maybe even a trustee, which can settle your affairs. And this might even be the cleanest way, depending if you know what type of inheritance plan you have already set up with your other assets, given that this trustee doesn't, you know, own the assets. But especially if you have multiple sub accounts within CASA, can then help to distribute the assets as per your will and court documents.
Awesome. And if we were going to compare this with the traditional inheritance offering, what are the similarities and differences between a shared account and a Bitcoin inheritance plan?
Yeah, so again, the differences are really the biggest difference is the when it takes effect. So the inheritance plan would be post-mortem of the primary account owner, whereas the shared account would be active as soon as you enroll. And if you're already a CASA Platinum or Diamond member, you could log into the webpage and enroll yourself. And it just takes a little bit of documentation and we'll confirm everything. One thing that is different as a result of this is how the recovery key, which is the single key that CASA houses, it is managed and protected. And so in an individual Platinum account or an individual Diamond account, just the primary account owner would need to be present on the live video call if you need a signature from CASA. Whereas in the shared account, both shared account owners would need to be present. They don't necessarily need to be in the same room, but do need to be on the video call together. So that is one thing to keep in mind when setting up a shared account. And the biggest difference is there. So active when both parties are alive and both parties must be present during the video call recovery signing.
Okay. And are there any restrictions on who shared accounts are available for?
So it's available for United States citizens. As far as I know, that's the only place we offer today. Jameson, if you know otherwise, please correct me. But as far as I know, that's U.S. today. We obviously want to expand this. I mean, as CASA, we have lots of customers all over the world. But there are certain challenges with verifying legal documents in other jurisdictions, which we don't normally operate. Not to mention, you know, fraud and just a total language barrier. So we are conquering the inheritance side of the United States, where our largest customer base is. And from there, you know, hopefully as we figure out some ways to do this, we can offer it to, you know, more worldwide.
Okay. This question came in through DM. So this person was wondering, so shared accounts are obviously a good fit for, you know, people that are in a committed relationship or a marriage or family, or maybe they're managing it for, you know, their parents or somebody else. But say things get rocky between the two of them, or maybe this is a couple that gets divorced. How would a shared account factor into protecting your Bitcoin when there's, I guess, a parting of ways?
Yeah, I mean, this is not really a novel problem in and of itself, as, you know, there are plenty of traditional financial accounts that are shared. And, you know, once you get into a legal separation and divorce arrangement, my understanding is that you're generally not supposed to be touching the assets in any of those shared accounts. You know, they're supposed to get divided up in a way that all parties agree upon. So it is possible, of course, for one person to become malicious and withdraw assets from there. But much like with traditionally shared financial accounts, you know, there's going to be an audit trail, right? So it's certainly possible in a situation like that for someone to abscond with funds, but due to the audit trail, like, we would know which keys were used to sign transactions. I'm sure, you know, other forensic data could be presented to a court. It's not something that you would want to do if you got into a situation like that, because you'd have a tough time getting away with it.
That actually is a decent segue to our next question. So another question we had was, do you have to KYC in order to set up a shared account or Bitcoin inheritance plan?
So it does require a picture of the co-owner's ID. This isn't something that is, you know, imposed on us by some government or regulatory agency, but simply CASA's way of making sure that we can verify who passed away and who is the rightful owner of the account. So there, you can sign up with CASA with an alias and anonymously, but would not be able to use the shared account feature in that regard. It looks like Andrew's joining us, our head of client services.
Hey guys, what's going on? Oh, you know, just taking shared accounts and Bitcoin inheritance to the streets. So Andrew, when you've been speaking with clients about shared accounts, what do they like about it so much? What is this solving for them?
They really enjoy the fact that they can share their Bitcoin journey with someone that they trust and someone that they love. You know, I think sometimes when people go down that Bitcoin rabbit hole, it's like they do it by themselves. But now with like a shared account, you know, they're coaching them. They're teaching them, okay, this is what a hardware wallet is. This is what a Bitcoin address is. This is how you do a health check. And it's a lot more intimate experience for them. They also like the fact that, you know, it's one of the ways that their loved one can continue to have access to the Bitcoin if the client passes away. And so there's like a sense of peace knowing that they have that.
Yeah, I would say this is a very common sentiment that I've seen, where, you know, you have the one hardcore Bitcoin interested person in the family, and they've basically been doing everything on their own, and, you know, their partner probably has an understanding that, you know, this is a very significant asset and it needs to be dealt with carefully, but they probably have not been very hands-on with it. And in many cases, you know, I've heard from the you know, non-Bitcoiner partner that they are they're hesitant, you know, that they're anxious about what would happen because they simply have no experience, you know, getting hands-on and using Bitcoin. And so they're you know, deathly afraid that even if things are quote unquote set up and in place, just, you know, the fact that they haven't ever touched any of this stuff, then they don't have much knowledge about it. They're afraid that, you know, they're going to screw something up.
Yeah, I mean, it really gives the other party involved the opportunity to learn by doing rather than just, you know, the lecturing that they may be receiving normally. So, and an opportunity to do that with confidence, because you've got the client services team there to assist.
How does a shared account work for, say, you know, a married couple where one spouse is deep down the Bitcoin rabbit hole and their spouse is not as well versed in Bitcoin and not necessarily as tech savvy? How would we accommodate that?
Yeah, so the great thing about our shared accounts is that, you know, the more technical person can kind of coach and guide and bring the their shared member along the journey. But, you know, if they don't want to, they can hop on a call with us and we can coach them. They can schedule training calls or training sessions with us. And we'd be more than happy to walk them through, hey, this is how you do a health check. Here's how you send Bitcoin out of Casa. And so it's kind of nice to, you know, if maybe like you don't have the type of relationship where you can teach your significant other about Bitcoin, offload them up to us, and we'd love to coach them and teach them how to do that.
Awesome. And what would be some cases where somebody is better off going with our more advanced Bitcoin inheritance plan over a shared account?
I'll take this one. I think it's, you know, if you have a complicated estate, maybe you're worried that you have multiple children or multiple ex-spouses, that there would be some sort of disagreement or malicious activity that could occur. That is really particularly where you would want to delegate like a trustee or an executor as maybe the inheritance side. I think the other side I really see this coming into play is if you want the individual to have their own login. I know it sounds maybe simple, but sometimes people want to not share logins and maintain their sense of independence. And so, you know, at the diamond level, you have additional features like you can delegate key managers and can also delegate multiple beneficiaries. So this is one thing that, you know, we hear where in the shared account, because it's a shared account between two parties, there are exactly two parties listed. But one question is like, well, what happens if, you know, spouse, we're both traveling together and pass? Well, at the same time. Well, in this case, the Diamond plan allows for multiple named recovery custodians. And so in this case, you would go down the order there. So the Diamond plan has both a shared account owner and the ability to name two recovery custodians, which would take effect in the event of your passing. So if you've got a very complicated estate plan, I would say that typically would be the case. But I would defer to Andrew, who works with this on a lot more granular level, and see what he has to say.
Yeah, I would say like the biggest advantage, like you're so right with the complicated estate planning. I would say one of the biggest differences for enrolling in our inheritance program versus our shared accounts is just when they get access to the Bitcoin. you know, sometimes when you're with your inheritors, you don't really want to give them full control over your Bitcoin until after you pass away. If that's your situation, then the inheritance program is perfect for you. And one of the things I want, oh, and also, you know, we send you an inheritance package. So, and we create some processes and procedures for you to make sure that you check in on those inheritance packages for your intended successors. And so that's also a value add for our inheritance program. But one thing I did want to highlight, though, is that for those who want to enroll in our inheritance program, it's really, really important, or even with our shared accounts, it's really, really important that you do your estate planning ahead of time. You know, when we think about how to transfer our estate after we pass away, it's unfortunate, but we have to deal with the legal processes. So I would strongly recommend talking to an estate planner, figuring all that stuff out first ahead of time. And what CASA can do is we can make sure and help that the intended successors that has been outlined in your trust or your will gets actual possession of the Bitcoin when you want it to happen. And so just to be clear, just because you enroll in our inheritance program doesn't mean that you are completely, just because you enroll in our inheritance program doesn't mean you get a bypass probate, for example. You need to set up a trust first in order to legally bypass probate, and then you come to us, and then we'll help you and your intended successors get access to the Bitcoin ahead of time. Hopefully that helps.
Yeah, and I'll add one thing to that, Andrew. So, and just because they're nominated as a recovery custodian doesn't mean that that is all they need to do, right? Because it is a multi-key wallet. You, as the end user, are the only one that controls it. CASA cannot move funds without the other keys. And so this is all taken care of and streamlined, as Andrew mentioned, in the inheritance package. But they do have to, you know, it's not like there is some involvement that will be required later on when the recovery happens. So this whole process, especially getting ahead of it, and some people, that is a, you know, a great way for introduction. But getting ahead of this plan is how you ensure that it works when the time comes.
Awesome. And what is needed to set up a shared account?
Oh, you got the Zach.
I saw you unmute at the same time. So I don't have the list in front of me. So if I miss anything, Andrew, can you fill in? So it's the shared email, shared password, shared access to the devices and PIN codes. There will be a recovery photo that you'll have to replace for you both rather than just the individual. And the ID of each shared account owner. Am I missing anything?
No, that's pretty much it. And an added dynamic to that CASA recovery photo, you're right that both people will have to be on that photo. And we will not sign the transaction if only one person is on the video verification call that we do when you request the CASA key. And we need both members on the video call. So that's something important for people to understand as they figure out how to enable shared accounts. And one last thing is that, you know, to use the CASA key, it's included in the plan. There's no percent-based fee that we charge if people request the CASA key at our premium level, nor at the gold level.
Yeah, and just to differentiate, so at the platinum and diamond level, the CASA key is video verified live by our security team, and there's a 48-hour hold even after you successfully pass. This is sort of a last line of defense in case you're under duress, you're in a sticky situation, and you're forced to make this signature request to CASA when you truly don't want to. So there's a 48-hour hold, even if you do pass and have both members present. And this is different than the gold plan, which is our entry-level plan. It's only $10 a month. And what you can do this is security questions. So it doesn't require the live video call. And because of that, obviously it's not quite as secure. Questions can be socially engineered, though we make you answer all three questions that you set up correctly, and there is a 7-day difference and delay there. And so you've got plenty of time if you suspect something's gone wrong to call us and let us know. But in either case, even once you pass the questions or the video call, there's that delay.
Okay. I thought I'd take a second to quickly reset the room. So everyone, today's session is an open-ended Q&A. So at any time, if you have a question, feel free to raise your hand to jump in, and we'll ask the panel. So what would be, have our team ever encountered any situations or read any situations where inheritance planning went awry, or maybe someone didn't have an inheritance plan? What would be like some horror stories?
I think the most well-known inheritance planning failure in the crypto space was Matthew Mellon, a billionaire heir of, I think, BNY Mellon, who he was an early investor in Ripple. And I think he passed away somewhat suddenly in his 50s. And I think it was estimated that over $500 million worth of Ripple was lost forever.
Yeah, you know, the disadvantages of not setting up your estate ahead of time is that your whole estate goes through probate. And probate isn't the funnest process. It's actually very, very public. And so all your assets can get listed for public records, so people will know exactly how much your estate was. And so that's kind of like a liability for your successors if they go through probate. Plus, it's expensive. A lot of times, the government can issue an administrator or to make sure that the assets gets distributed according to the law to the probate court, and that can be quite an expensive process. And a lot of times, they charge a percent base fee of your total assets as well. And not only that, your estates can also get taxed on top of it. So overall, you know, who knows how much your successors would really get of your total assets if you kind of push it off towards the end. And so those aren't like the most funnest things for, you know, your family members to deal with if you pass away.
Hey, Brent, did you have a question for the panel?
Hey guys, yeah, I did actually, and thanks for putting this on. And then too, it was nice to hear Andrew mention, hey, visit with an estate planning attorney. I think it's great advice right off the bat. But maybe I'm reading too much into this. Someone had mentioned earlier, maybe entitlements driven. Is there a way to have a shared account where you have an entitlement maybe for a, you know, spouse or a partner, maybe like inquiry only access or anything like that? And then also, I think Andrew cleared this up on the video call portion. Need to have both of those. There's no additional questions or anything one might need to answer on the Zoom call, layered on top of just confirming maybe with the ID on file, etc.
Yeah, so we go through a verification process where we decrypt the photo that you submitted earlier, and you have to hop on a video call. So that's how we make sure that both members are actually who they say they are, for us to sign that signature. Now, hopefully that answers your question. Could you restate your first question? I didn't quite catch that.
Yeah, no, that's super helpful. The first part of the question was maybe Zach or somebody had mentioned entitlements. Maybe I'm just reading too much into the entitlements language. Is there a way to have entitlements for that other user or that other individual for the shared account, inquiry only or anything like that? Or is it just kind of more cut and dry?
Brent, when you say entitlements, you mean like their ability to like know what the balance would be?
Exactly. And maybe you mentioned that earlier. Maybe I'm just latching onto that word. But yeah. Any entitlements, whether it's inquiry only, you know, to money, to actually move money, et cetera.
So not at the shared account level, because both of them are co-account owners. And so at that, you both have full access to the account. However, at the diamond level, there are key manager permissions, and perhaps that's what you're referencing, in which you don't have to give them the ability to be able to create transactions, in which case it's effectively they can only sign. And so for that purpose, it's basically a watch. You know, they can only view the ballots. They can't send any transactions out, only those that are pushed to them. So there is that at the diamond level, but not at the platinum.
And I just wanted to add to that, you know, even at the shared account level, I actually helped a couple set up their key management system for shared account for a 3 of 5 recently. And this is what we did. They didn't want, they wanted both people to get involved with signing a transaction. And so what we did was we split up the keys. You know, the one shared member had access to two keys, the mobile key and one hardware wallet, and the other member had access to two keys. And so in the cost of multisig, the 3 of 5, you need three keys to move Bitcoin out of that wallet. What this requires is for two people to cooperate to send Bitcoin out of there. And we do this not inside the app, but through who owns the keys. And the last bit here is, what about the Casa key? Well, that's also gated by the fact that both people have to be on that video verification call. And so it's kind of a neat way for us to have two people co-manage a wallet together in a trustless way.
Yeah, the main, I guess, meta takeaway that I would mention from what Andrew was saying is that once you get into a multi-key setup, especially with more keys, like in a 3 of 5, you gain a lot more flexibility in the customization of who can access what keys. So there's a variety of things that we can do to distribute, for example, the mobile key onto different devices, or to distribute the different hardware keys in different ways, or in some cases, it even makes sense to like make multiple copies of the same hardware keys. This, I think, is one of the areas where it really pays off to have a dedicated client advisor that can talk through your specific needs and help to customize the solution that will give you exactly what you want. Stepping back a little bit to what was mentioned earlier, if you do only want to provide read-only access to someone, a hacky way to do that is to just give them your Casa login. And doing that will give them access to no keys whatsoever, but they would be able to, you know, see the transactions and balances and whatnot.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Love Casa as well. Thanks again.
Thanks, Brett.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. So one good question is, what can a client advisor help with? Are they somebody that's like telling you when to buy and sell the dip, or what kinds of questions can you ask a client advisor?
That's such a good question. I feel like one good way to describe client advisors is that we're Bitcoin therapists. when it's a bear, you can call us up and we'll hop on a call and just keep telling you to hodl. We can be your one-stop resource for anything Bitcoin or Bitcoin related, for digital security, for best practices when it comes to securing your hardware wallets and OPSEC and all that stuff. We even have a privacy course inside of that we offer to our premium clients that people can take. And so, think of us as, good Bitcoiners who will help you figure out how to take care of everything that you need.
Yeah. And to add to that, I'd just give some examples, like I've been asked a wide range of questions that have, not necessarily anything to do with Casa, like how to run a node, or what's the difference in Bitcoin address formats, or, how can I spend Bitcoin more privately? What's a UTXO consolidation? I mean, the list goes on and on and on, but the point is that, we're here to support you, in addition to help you secure your Bitcoin on your own, without messing it up.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I feel like everyone is in a different stage when it comes to their Bitcoin journey. Some people are brand new, and maybe they're not super knowledgeable of hardware wallets or what a UTXO is, and so we can definitely help out with that. But even for some of the more technical people or mid, we've got guides and we can help coach and help those people try to understand how multisig works as well. And so we really try to meet our clients where they're at, and we try to bring value and services and knowledge whenever is appropriate.
Yeah, and I think Andrew, it might be worth just in case the audience is not familiar, like reiterating exactly how multisig is different. So a normal Bitcoin wallet, a single key, we'll call it, is generated from a private key, and then the addresses are generated from that public key. Whereas with a multisig wallet, there are multiple public keys used in the creation of this address. And so one thing I get asked a lot is like, is each key different? Or are they all the same? Is it copies? Like, and the answer is they are all different, right? So the way I usually use analogy, like imagine, you know, you're making a lock and you use like the schematic of key A to create the lock and the keyhole. Well, in this case, you're creating a lock with keyholes A, B, and C. And this specific combination is used to secure your Bitcoin. And because you're the only person or individual, or in this case, maybe you and your partner, or other shared account owner, because you're the only ones that have the majority of the keys, in this case, you're the only person that can open the lock or access the Bitcoin. However, the benefit is by Casa holding just one key, if you lose one of these keys, which can happen, we're there to help you recover funds. So lost keys don't equal lost Bitcoin. So particularly if you're already set in your mind that you're going to be holding Bitcoin for the long term, and already set in your mind that this is something that you want to hold and not leave with a custodian, and maybe you recognize that maybe storing a large portion of your wealth is not practical to do on just a little USB flash drive, at least not one by itself, then this is really where Casa can help, and where a multi-key, a multi-signature wallet really can add a lot of value to your security model.
Speaking of security models, so this question just came in, and it might be for the legendary Cypherpunk himself. So, Jameson, how does OPSEC change when you have a family versus when you're just an individual Bitcoiner? What's different about, and what do you need to consider?
Yeah, it's hard. I've actually had this question a few times, and there's not a lot of resources out there that talk about, you know, privacy and operational security for a whole family. It especially gets difficult, you know, when children come into play, because, you know, there are a lot of, you know, aspects of governments that require you to do various registrations around your children, and, you know, associate yourself with them and your physical address and so on and so forth. So, I unfortunately do not have any great resources to point people to, other than to say that it becomes more difficult, you know, for every person that you're adding into the mix. That is, you know, multiplying all of the privacy issues that you have to think about and deal with. So I think the most common thing is that people generally relax a bit or give up a bit, because in most cases, you're probably not going to be able to get the other members of your family to, you know, follow the same level of strict procedures that you yourself may be willing to do. So I think there are, you know, some concessions that end up having to be made there. There are, you know, few people who value privacy extremely highly to the point that they're willing to make you know, major lifestyle changes. But this is definitely something I'm going to keep my eye out for, and it may in fact be an interesting new niche for privacy conscious people to get into and start researching and publishing stuff about. But you know, to date, I haven't really seen a whole lot of material that focuses on that aspect.
Gotcha. Thank you. And in the space, I've pinned a tweet that has a landing page with some more information about shared accounts for those who are interested. Zach, Andrew, and Jameson, what would you say are the primary takeaways as we come to a close of this Twitter space?
There are unique considerations with self-custody that need to be taken into account beforehand. Because of that, you have an opportunity to create a security model that works for you and is customized for you. It's not like you're put in a box and it's like, here, let you know, just leave it at Charles Schwab or leave it at Coinbase. We'll figure it out later. Bitcoin's strengths are oftentimes some of the weak parts in that case too, right? That's why the inheritance problem is both a challenge, but that same challenge is what gives it its censorship resistance and its resiliency against government attack. So there are roadblocks, but none that can't be overcome. And so, like all things, you know, self-custody, it's a journey, and we're here to help. So I think, like, we're constantly trying to make this goal of digital sovereignty for all easier, more accessible. And so, yeah, I think just like solving the problem of inheritance for couples and families that want to make sure that their affairs are taken care of, I think that's a great, you know, step towards it.
I would just want to say that by no means am I saying that everyone needs to set up an inheritance program. There are, in fact, plenty of legitimate reasons why you might not want to. And I'm perfectly fine if people want to donate all of their Bitcoin to the greater community by losing it forever permanently. There are certainly a number of people I've talked to who feel very strongly that that's the way things should be. You know, maybe you don't believe that your heirs should be given your wealth that you earned, and maybe they should have to earn it themselves. But if you are not of that mindset, this is certainly a complicated problem that needs some time and effort put into it up front. We've put in a lot of research and development on our end over the past few years from, you know, talking to our clients and thinking through various scenarios. And we're more than happy to help you out if that is something that you do want to be able to leave for your heirs.
Yeah, I'll provide a different perspective. You should definitely take seriously your estate planning, get started on it now. Make sure that you figure out not only the legal side of it about how to successfully transfer your asset privately and in the most tax efficient way to your loved ones, but also that they can actually take possession of their Bitcoin. And one of the beautiful things about Bitcoin and Casa is that, you know, it's all self-custody. So that means, you know, we try to create technologies, create products and features that continues to help people remain a sovereign individual. And the inheritance program and the shared accounts programs are both great examples, I think, of that as well. And so, yeah, take care of your estate ahead of time, plan ahead so that, you know, your successors don't have to deal with the terrible aftermath of probate.
So to summarize both Jameson and Andrew's perspectives, your Bitcoin are going to be donated. The value that your Bitcoin have are going to be donated to someone. So whether it's your heirs or the rest of the world, world's heirs, is up to you. So if you want it to be yours, the time to plan is beforehand.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone. And thank you to all those who joined to listen. This has been a great discussion. And if you're interested in getting started with a shared account, you know, you can find us at keys.casa. And then we're also on here on @CasaHodl. And feel free to hit up either Zach, Jameson, or Andrew, and we'll get you squared away and give you a legacy plan for the future. Thank you very much, everyone. Take care.